Good morning. Good morning. That's right. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm going to be sharing about in his foundation. What strong foundation in the Lord looks like. Having deep convictions.
Amen.
All right. And so we'll start off in Matthew, verse 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. All right. So, you know, when we think about being wise, you know, we, in the Bible in James, God says that he gives wisdom to everyone who acts without finding fault. So we have no excuses. When we don't know something, we can ask God, you know, without judgment to get that wisdom, right, for the things that he is calling us to do. And then he says to put them into practice. And then he also tells us that he gives us in 1 Timothy 2 a spirit of self-discipline, of love and power, right? He is giving us everything that we need to actually carry this out. And he says when we do this, we're going to see the fruits of being strong in him, you know, building whatever he's calling us to build. And as he has created us, our lives, right? Because we are no longer owners of ourselves, right? We were bought at a price. And so he wants us to build our spiritual house into a rock on his strong foundation. And so when we think about convictions, you know, and anyone could, you know, answer this. What does conviction mean to you? Anyone? Mm-hmm. Unwavering belief. That's good.
Consistency.
That's good. Yeah.
Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I say belief that is so strong that it's just seen in how you live.
Yes, I'm done. I can sit down now. All of you guys. Yes, the state or act or process of convincing a fixed or strong belief, right? And also a belief that is derived and based on a commitment to scripture. So we talk about, you know, do you have a conviction? You know, do you have a belief? And we all have beliefs about something, but is it a belief in God that's going to yield what God wants it to yield? All right, so we do things based upon what we believe, and what we believe we feel, and what we feel we act out. But see, another thing about conviction, deep conviction, it doesn't fluctuate based on your emotions. Mm-hmm. Our emotions goes up and down. We have an array of feelings every day. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a minute, we could be feeling all different types of things. We can't even explain what we're feeling, right? Our circumstances, our opinions, who's around us, what's happening in life, you know, having deep convictions It's not based on those things, whether you feel good or bad that day, whether a situation happened that you liked or you didn't like. So what are we putting our faith and energy into believing and doing? You know, how do we develop those strong and deep convictions, right? We know to read the word, right? That's the start of it. You know, we hear the message and that becomes our belief. But there's two things that I want to really focus on. Mm-hmm. And that is to have a strong foundation and deep convictions. You got to know that your life is not your own. Mm-hmm. Right? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Mm-hmm. All right. So it says here, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now, I've read this so many times, and then I skip over whether you eat or drink and just focus on do it all for the glory of God. But if you think about this scripture, God says, whether you eat or drink. And I ask myself, when I eat, or before I eat, I pray. So I'm giving thanks for the food and the drink. But as I'm doing that act, I'm not thinking about, is my eating giving glory to God? Am I eating in a glorifying way to God? So if he wants you to glorify him in the smallest act of eating and drinking, how much more does he want you to glorify in the larger areas of your life?
Great point.
Yeah. He's paying attention to the smallest details. Right. And so when we think about do it all for the glory of God, it is not about ourselves, right? Our lives are not our own. Everything we do, if he wants us with eating and drinking to glorify him, that means everything you do. And for me, it's like how I do my hair, how I dress, how I speak, how I look, how I show up, what I do, what I don't do, you know, what I listen to, what I read, just in my own being. He wants me to give him glory. So that's the first thing for that foundation of having a deep conviction is knowing that your life is not your own, because then you're going to have a different perspective on what you do, what you don't do, what you think. Everything will really be wrapped around God. And then he tells us again in Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So here we go again. And he's making it very clear, whatever you do, recognize who he is, right? And that's also the beginning of wisdom, fearing God, knowing your status, knowing where you stand before God, right? That's going to help give you that foundation of having a deep conviction, right? So now you're not just focused on what you want, what you need, just your prayers being answered. Amen. Prayers are being answered, but is it according to God's will? Is it according to his way? Is it in his name, or is it for his glory? Or do you just want it because you just want it? All right? And he talks about that in James 2. Why don't you get what you want? Because you want to spend it on your own pleasures. Because you just want what you want outside of what he wants for you. And then, you know, the other thing, in Colossians 3:23, we just go a little bit further. You know, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So here we go again. He's telling us, think about me. Your life is my life. I'm in you. Focus on where you need to focus on. That's where you're going to have those convictions. All right. So the next one, once you know where you stand, once you know that your life is not your own, then you got to stay connected, right? You got to stay connected to the source. Just like a tree, the plant, the roots, you know, you have a big oak tree and you have the roots, and how is that tree being fed and nourished, right? Things that you can't even see that's underneath giving this tree life and energy and nourishment. We can't even see what God is doing for us, giving us life, energy, and nourishment. But when you're not connected, it's like you're wasting away. You don't even know, right? So let's go to John 15, verse 5. Okay, it says here, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I love this, right? I love it because God, his promises are so true. His ways of how we go about connecting with him is so helpful. And he just makes it so clear. Just stay close with me. And you will be able to do all that you need to do. You will have the strength. You will have the wisdom. You will have the convictions. You will have the know-how when you're connected with me. But if you don't do that and you wonder why things are going awry, he says, if you don't remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away. So we want to stay connected. We just don't want to be thrown and scattered to the sidelines, right? And then he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, having the word, it is life. Jesus became flesh from the word. That word is life. We need God's word, right? To help us have the convictions of what we need to do and what he has already planned out for us to do. He already says that he's planned out good works for us to do. He says in Psalm 39 that I created you before you were even a thought, right? All the days of your life have already been ordained. So he has this plan for you, but how will you know your plan if you're not connected to the source? All right? So with having, you know, deep convictions, remembering, you know, these two things, knowing who you are, knowing that your life is not your own, and staying connected to the source. Now, we know that it may or may not be easy for many of us to do that, but he does say that his burden is light and his yoke is easy, right? He gives us all that we need to do it, right? To understand his word so that we could live it out, right? And he has given us the word to do it. And he gives us some instruction on that too, where in James 1, verse 22 to 25, okay, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking forgets what he looks like. Right? It's so simple. We have to constantly be reminded because there's so much that's happening. Every single day we are bombarded with messages from everywhere. So staying connected to the vine, it isn't a happenstance, you know, once a week, right? It is all day, every day, 24/7. And you may not be in the word, but he says, press your words upon your heart. Think about, meditate, right? Encourage one another daily. We are in this together. We are family, right? So it's not for you to just be that lone ranger, yeah, you know, because that lion is ready for you. Right. You know, we need a community, right? To really be able to have deep convictions to help one another and not shy away from those conversations. You know, I don't know if this is out in Jersey, but in New York, they have it on a train. If you see something, say something. That's how we need to be as disciples, loving one another to help us have these deep convictions, right? And if there's something that we don't understand, we bring the word. So it's, your convictions isn't a matter of opinion, right? We talk, it's not a matter of just how you feel, right? We all have feelings. There's no right or wrong. That's just how you feel. But you want to bring the word in. You know, our deep convictions is based on strong belief and commitment to scripture, right? So we want to help each other in that way, right? And God has given us so many great examples of how people have showed their great convictions in the Bible, from their faith, from just standing up for what is right. And I just want to share some of those examples. So let's go to Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to talk about Abraham. All right. All right, so it says, Abraham tested. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. And I'm going to stop there. Abraham's conviction, which showed by his belief and his actions, was that I'm going to obey God and do what you tell me to do, even if I don't understand it, even if I know I don't want to do it, but I'm going to trust you. And we know that he trusted him that his son will return, because he says at the end of verse 5, we will worship and then we will come back to you, right? Abraham just showed deep conviction and trusting God in the hardest times. And that's, and he said, Abraham was tested. So our faith, our convictions are many times tested in our hardest times, right? When our emotions, when we want something, when things aren't going the way that we think they should go, do we hold out? Do we wait? Right? When do we know that we have those deep convictions? Right? And then, you know, at the end of this, Abraham was accredited by God as being righteous. Right? So we have that example. you know, something that Abraham just loved, his son, his only son that he waited 25 years to have. But he was obedient and he knew that he would come back with him. All right. Another example, which I'm not going to go into because Jessica talked about that, Daniel. Right. And the example of when Herod, you know, made, you know, that law that you can't pray, Daniel still prayed 3 times a day. He had deep convictions about being committed to God in prayer, even though it would have cost him his life. Right? So showing deep convictions shows up in your life in many different places. Sometimes with you being asked to give up something, sometimes it's just, am I going to worship God when no one is looking? Right? Do I have a conviction about my time, you know, with God? And here in the U.S., we don't have to really be concerned about it costing us our life, you know, to do it. Another person that I want to talk about is in Mark chapter 6. And so we just also want to be mindful of just how deep convictions can really run. Okay. And I'm going to skip around a little bit. So in Mark 6, chapter 14, King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and this is why miraculous powers were at work in him. Right? I'm going to jump down to verse 17. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me for anything you want and I'll give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison. And I'm going to stop there. You see, on both sides, there were strong convictions. John had a conviction to say, "Hey, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." God will show us there are times when we do need to speak up and share what is right from the Bible. That's having a deep conviction and not just letting things pass by. You know, when you see something, say something based on the word of God. Herod had a deep conviction too. So when Herodias came to him and said, he said, "I'll give you anything you ask," he kept his word, although it cost John his life. What do you have convictions about? You know, will you hold to your word? Do you let your yes be yes and your no be no at any cost? So there's so many examples of how having deep convictions is manifested in our lives. Some for sharing the word of God, some from just keeping your own word, right? But when we know the truth, when we have that relationship with God and we're connected to the vine, he guides us in the wisdom of how that should look. And so I just want to encourage us that as we are developing our deep convictions, because there's just so much in the Bible, right, that we can be convicted, convinced, have a strong belief of, that we trust God in the way that we should go when we manifest those deep convictions. Thank you.